But if you don't care, stand for the honor of reading God's word. We're going to start in the 12th chapter, 1 through 5, and then we're going to skip over to 13 through 16 here. As we read in the book of Acts, it says, "About that time, Herod the king laid violent hands on some who belonged to the church. He killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter. This was during the days of unleavened bread. And when he had seized him, he put him in prison, delivering him over to four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending after the Passover to bring him out to the people. So Peter was kept in prison, but earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church." Skip on down to verse 13. It says, "And when he knocked at the door of the gateway, a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer. Recognizing Peter's voice, in her joy, she did not open the gate, but ran in and reported that Peter was standing at the gate. They said to her, 'You're out of your mind.' But she kept insisting that it was so. And they kept saying, 'It is his angel.' But Peter continued knocking. And when they opened, they saw him and were amazed." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity this morning, Lord, to stand and preach. Father, I consider it a blessing and a great privilege to be able to preach the gospel this morning and understand that a strict judgment upon my life of rightly dividing your word. I pray this morning for every soul that's here, Lord, that you would just touch in some way through your message, Lord, that it would deliver them of their situations that they may be going through, Lord Father, that if someone's lost and needs salvation, that you would allow them to come to an altar of repentance and receive this wonderful gift that you have for them. If someone is struggling with things in their personal life, with family, with addiction, whatever's going on, Father, we pray for deliverance for them this morning as well. Help us always to honor you and to glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So like I said, it's the book of Acts. It's fired me up. I love the book of Acts, and I love this 12th chapter as well. The more and more I read it this week, it's pretty amazing in itself, and kind of explains a lot of us as a church and sometimes our mindset. If I was going to title the message this morning, it would be called "Open the Door." Okay, so that'd be kind of the title of the message. You'll hear me say more of that later on in the message. But that's what I would title is "Open the Door." And do you realize as I read through that? So what we need to realize as a church and as individuals, Satan, he's always opposed of any movement of God. He don't like it. When people pray, when the church is moving and they're witnessing and they're going out and starting other churches, he is completely opposed. He does not want to see a movement of God. He doesn't want to see, and I'm just not saying, hey, let's just start a church up the road here, but I mean a prayerful, a Jesus-focused, Jesus-loving, Jesus-teaching church that is growing. Satan doesn't want to see that. And it's evident here that this is what Satan is trying to do and how he manipulates and uses individuals to try to persecute the church. And as we know, the church still to this day is being persecuted. You know, it's not the popular thing to talk about Jesus and to share our faith. And, you know, you guys are so, I've heard the statement, you're so narrow-minded to think that Jesus is the only way. How intellectual can you really be if you think that's the only way? But I go by the word of God and what God has taught me, and I stand firm on it, and I will till the day I die, that Jesus is the only way to heaven, okay? It's the only way. And whatever religion, if they're not teaching that, then I'd say stay away from that. That is the only way to heaven is through and by the blood of Jesus Christ, you know, and God loved us enough to send his only son. That he died for us and was resurrected. It is not just his death, but the resurrection and the perfect plan of salvation for each and every one of us. And that's what I want for you this morning, is if you don't have salvation, that you receive salvation this morning. So I'm also thankful that the church, even in the midst of persecution, that they were willing to pray. That was some encouraging thing there, that Herod was doing all this bad stuff, and then all of a sudden you see at the end, but they specifically and earnestly prayed to God on behalf of Peter. is what they were doing. So they were very specific in their prayer. And that's encouraging, because even though they were being persecuted, they found a place that they gathered together, that they prayed to the Almighty God, knowing and hoping and praying that God would do some amazing things. So it's always encouraging to know that man, the church has been praying from day one, and hopefully that we continue to pray from that. Have you guys ever heard of King Herod? Most of you have heard for King Herod. Well, this is a different King Herod, okay? There's Herod the Great, which you guys probably will know Herod the Great by when Jesus was born. King Herod sent out a decree and told everybody that, you know, babies that were male babies that were 3 years old and under, go out and kill them, because they were trying to find baby Jesus and they were going to try to kill him. So he said, go out there and at 3 years and kill all the male babies. So that's Herod the Great. This same lineage here, this same family, this King Herod is related to that King Herod, okay? So they come from the same bloodline, probably the same mentality, the same thought. It's about me. I'm the king. They'll do what I say they're going to do, and they're going to do it my way. That kind of mentality and hatred is what this king was. And it shows evident of some of the things that he did, because we know, in fact, that he went out and he captured James and he killed him with a sword. And what happened is King Herod, at first you really don't know how people were going to respond, but these people responded with like, yes, James. They were excited that James was killed. So he thought, well, if they're excited with James killed, wait till I get Peter, okay? Because I'll go get Peter and we'll put him in prison, and in a few days I'll do the same thing. So if they love that, then they will surely love this too. It kind of reminds me of today's times as well. Kind of reminds me of when someone isn't a Jesus following God fearing individual, they kind of like, yeah, see how your religion is, and they, you know, it's just a mockery of what you believe in your faith. But God forbid you mock anything that they do. You know, they're so tolerant. But when you begin to talk about something, boy, that no, they don't want to have anything to do with that. So the church is kind of going through a time of persecution here, and it's good to recognize that. So it said here, it said in the verse, so Peter was kept in prison, but earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church. What do you think they were praying about? Probably a miracle. Okay, I'd say they're probably praying for a miracle. I'd say they was probably praying that Peter would be set free. Okay, and I'd say they was probably praying that God would just make a way, that he'd make a way. I'd say they were earnestly praying on behalf of Peter that God, please make a way for Peter. Please deliver him. Please deliver him. Okay, I'd say that's probably what they were really praying about. And here's the thing. In the midst of chaos, sometimes all we have, I've talked to psychologists, I've talked to well-known people that are knowledgeable in their Bible and all that stuff, but sometimes all we have is prayer. I can get all the educated minds to get together, and sometimes in the midst of chaos, that's really all we need is prayer. And it's hard for me to believe that we'll search all of these other things out when we should start with earnest prayer. That's where we should start, and then seek the guidance of God and have him to direct us in what we should be doing. So sometimes we get it backwards, but sometimes you really don't need to say anything about it to anyone. You just need to, in that midst of chaos, pray to God and pray to him and ask him to help you and to lead you through this situation. So when I'm thinking of a prayer, you know, and what they're going through, it you know, the church here, you think about what should they really have been praying for? And when I think of a prayer that even in the midst of persecution, God, make a way for deliverance so that I can be a witness for you. So don't make your prayers about a me focus, but make it a prayer about Jesus and Christ focus, where that even in the midst of persecution, how can I be a witness for you? And God, even in the midst of this persecution, if you deliver me, how can I be a witness for you? And God, also that even in the midst of this persecution, if you don't deliver me, How can I be a witness for you? You see, all of this, the things we do, and the one thing that I love about Living Water Church and the vision and the mission here is it's Christ-focused, Christ-centered, about sharing the gospel, whether it be any ministry that we do. If it's not pointing to Jesus and to the cross, we don't do it, but it needs to be Christ-focused and Christ-centered. And I think that our prayers a lot of times, well, sometimes we don't have them Christ-focused and Christ-centered. Because we make them about us. I'm not saying praying for yourself is bad, but praying for yourself at God. How through this can I be a witness and a light for you? Open the door. Open the door. When we get serious enough to pray more earnestly, I'm going to tell you, you better look out. Because God will do amazing things when we finally set it up in our mind and our heart that I'm going to pray the way God wants me to pray, and I'm going to get serious and sincere with Him to pray about specific individuals. And I'll give you an example. A few months ago, we asked our youth parents to come in on Sunday night after the youth service and to have a time where we can discuss issues and things that their teenagers were going with. And then we started 31 days of prayer that each morning I would get up, I would send something to a page that they were all connected to. They would say a specific prayer and they would insert their child's name in that prayer, in that scripture prayer. They would insert their, and we started doing this. And each week we'd come back and I would encourage them to continue, to continue, to continue. Well, lo and behold, when earnest prayer, when people started focusing on God and these parents started focusing on God, some amazing things happened. One night we come into youth service and the amazing Spirit of God began to move. We lost track of time. People began to move. Six souls came and got saved, and God saved their souls. We continued moving. Lives were being changed. People were getting closer, rededicating their lives. The parents, it was time for the parent meeting, they realized that something amazing was going on. They said, you could just feel it through the walls. You could just feel it. They began to enter. They finished the service with us and was able to be blessed about what God was doing. And then we got the parents together after that, and we began to talk about that. And I asked the question, why do you think that it happened? And one of the moms raised her hand. She said, we're 21 days into our prayers. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of sometimes we want to see, it's good to sometimes to see the physical thing actually take place in front of your eyes. Because when she said that, I was like, bam, you've nailed it. I said, just think, in just this 31 days, what if we as a church body really got sincere and earnest about prayer, about our kids, about our wives, our spouses, our friends, our neighbors, the community? What if we really got sincere and earnest about this? What really could, I'm going to tell you, it'd be mind-blowing. It'd be mind-blowing. You wouldn't be able to comprehend it. Because I can put no words on what happened that night other than God showed up in a big way to say, this is how I will reward you because you have been faithful to what I've asked you to do. And these parents were faithful with their children and lifting them up to God, and God saved six souls. It's amazing. That's amazing. So if we get sincere and think about what God, look out. I'm just telling you, look out. You see all these empty seats, they'd be filled up. Look out, and God can do it. I trust Him. He can do it. I've seen Him do it time and time again. So we're going to look at the book of Acts here, the 12th chapter. Okay, we're going to go through this. And there's three points that we're going to bring out to you. And if you got something that you're writing down, write these down. They're very important points here that we're going to bring out. The first one is God does the impossible. God does the impossible. And as we look at this, I'm going to read here in the 12th chapter, the 11th verse. And then we'll talk about this. It says, when Peter came to himself, he said, now I am sure that the Lord had sent his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting. Okay, so to me, he said, I am sure, okay? At first he thought he was dreaming and it was just like a vision or something like that. But he said, I am sure that God has. So God was doing the impossible here because we're going to talk about the church here in just a second. Sometimes I think that we as a church don't believe God can do the impossible. And there's evidence in chapter 12 here that we'll get to that. But when the church prays, God begins to do the impossible. When we set our hearts this morning in prayer, when we set them on thing, and God will show up and he will make things happen. Those things that look like they couldn't happen, he begins to make things happen if we are sincere in our prayer. And watch out, because God will do the impossible in your life. How many of y'all can relate? God has done some amazing things in the impossibles in my life. He's delivered me time and time and time and time again. We've had a lot of people here that have struggled with addictions. We've had a lot of people that have marriage problems. We've had a lot of people that are just angry people. We've had a lot of people here that have dealt with things time and time again that, glory be to God, they were believing what this said right here, that God can do the impossible, and God delivered them through that. And I want the same thing, we want the same thing for you this morning. It's for God to deliver you. When you set our hearts to it, that impossible becomes possible. When we open the door and when we pray, think about this. So when you pray, I'd say you're anticipating. So when you pray, when you really pray, you're anticipating that by praying, God's going to do something, correct? You're anticipating what God's going to do. And I'm going to tell you, if we start to get the mentality where it's not just we're just going to pray, but we have the mentality that I anticipate that God is going to do it. I believe that we had some parents that anticipated that God was going to move on their child's life and we was going to be able to see those. And I believe we had those, they were anticipating that God was going to do greater things. And it was a mind-blowing experience. So as we went through this, as I read through chapter 12 here, just a little bit of it, I don't think that Luke, when he was writing this, that was just like, this will be a good story to tell everybody. Let's write this down. I believe God's divine hand, I believe his holy hand was up on this situation. He already had it planned out. I believe with my whole heart that the word of God, I believe that God knew he was ready. He was ready to do this. He had it all set out there for them. And this, it wasn't by accident, okay, that Herod was a mean, hateful person. It wasn't by accident that he killed James. It wasn't by accident that he grabbed Peter and he was going to kill Peter. And it also wasn't by accident that the church gathered together in earnest prayer. It wasn't by accident. Okay, none of that was by accident, but it was purposeful to see what God is going to show us here as a church and what we need to do. So while the church was praying, Herod was planning. So while the church was praying, Herod was planning to execute Peter, and then guess what happened? An angel showed up. No coincidence at all. It just didn't, luckily. No, God had it in his plan that this is what was going to happen and take place. It's more proof and proof for us that the impossible that we look at can become possible. Do you even believe what you're praying can really happen? Because if you don't, you're already defeated. You're wasting your time. If you're already saying this is not going to happen, that's not the mentality and the mindset that we as individuals, believers in Christ, that he raised us from death unto life, that we need to believe. These are things that, man, these are going to happen. That's why I'm praying them to God, and God, Jesus is going to take them to his Father on behalf of us and to be able to answer these. He's going to do those things. So that, you know, so we have to anticipate what God is going to do, because it could be mind-blowing. And God does the impossible in the personal connection. God, I'm thankful that God delivered me from a devil's hell. Thankful for that. When I die, I'm not going to hell. I'm going to heaven because of what Jesus did in my life. And I'm glad that I heard the knocking on the door, and I'm glad I answered the door. I'm glad I opened it up, and I received what God had for me through prayer and repentance and asking him to forgive me. I received that. And I'm thankful for that. So each one of us can have a personal connection with this. But we don't. Here's the thing. We don't need to get lost in our prayer where we're just thinking, well, it's just a regular routine. So that heads us to point number two. So point number one, God does the impossible. Point two, God increases our expectations. Because I think what happens a lot of time is, you know, think about this. The more we pray, so the more that we do it, the greater our anticipation that God will do something in that prayer. You agree with that? So if I'm praying more and more about it, I'm anticipating that God's going to do something with this. He's going to do something with this. I'm leaving it in his hands. He's going to do something with this. And I believe it's great to understand that when we go in prayer, it's not just these, we'll just pray because that's what God expects us to do. Have you ever been to a point in your life where you just prayed because you just knew it was the right thing to do? Well, I think that we've lost sight of this earnest prayer when we begin to get a mindset like that, because we're not expecting and we're not anticipating, so therefore we're probably not mentioning things that we really need to be mentioning. We're just saying, we prayed today. We prayed today. If your expectation is low, I think there's a direct correlation with how much you're calling up on God. I think they're connected. So if your expectation's low, you're probably going to say, I'll pray about that tomorrow. I'll pray about that tomorrow. I'll get to that tomorrow. But if your expectations are high, then you're going to say, I got to pray about this. I need to pray about this. How many of you all have a routine or a time when you pray at some point during the day? Most of you? Most of you have a time when you pray, whether it be when you open your eyes and wake up or when you get out of bed. I know my routine is I pray before my kids get up because I have to pray after my kids get up. You get my drift. So I pray before they get up, and I pray after I get them off about their day, I pray again. I'm thinking, thank you, Jesus, that I didn't strangle one of them. Thank you. So every one of us have a routine, but don't just let it become just a routine, okay? Because that's the bad habits that we have as Christians and as a church. Well, this is just what's expected, and this is what we're supposed to do. With that mentality, we're not going to see six souls come and be saved on one night with that kind of mindset. But with a mindset that God's going to move on these prayers, and we're going to have earnest prayers and these petitions up to God and call out on behalf of these individuals. If you've got a lost friend, call their name out in prayer that God save those individuals, that they would see the shape that they're in, that you would save their soul, that they would be forevermore changed because of what you've done. So think about this. If your expectation's high, these kind of all roll together. If your expectation's high, that increases your anticipation, which also increases your prayer time, which also increases the ability to God to work through that. So all these things are related. So your expectation, anticipation, prayer time, and God doing these things and his will being done, there should be some excitement. It shouldn't be, it's time to pray. You should be fired up. It's time to pray. I get to talk with the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords that has delivered me from death unto life, that has taken care of me and delivered me. He's answered prayers that I didn't think was possible. He's answered those prayers to me. It looked impossible with my eyes, but God has delivered me time and time again. And I'll tell you, he's going to deliver you time and time again. Amen. The hanky is coming out. Because if I have to hack to make you amen, I'll do it. Okay? So, that anticipation, the expecting, I expect. Did you come to church this morning expecting God to move? Did you expect it? I come every Sunday morning saying, God, that's my heart's desire. I want to see a life change. Miranda Delgado got saved first service this morning. She gave her life to Jesus Christ. Glory to God that God moved on her and she opened the door. And I've known it for some time. I've seen God in dealing with her, and he specifically put her up on my heart. And I'm so thankful that God delivered and he answers our prayers if we get sincere about that. Here's a 17, 18-year-old young lady that gave her life to Jesus Christ, that she can forevermore go and live and share the gospel with her family and friends. And don't miss out, next week she's going to get in the water and she's confessing it to everybody. And glory be to God, that's what he'll do for life. We anticipate and expect those kinds of things. That's what God will do. Open the door. Open the door. God will do amazing things in your life if you allow him. But listen to this. Here we go. We'll get into a little bit more of this. So God does the impossible. He increases our expectation. I'm going to read you this a little bit. We're going to read there in Acts 5 again, and then 13 through 16. I want to read this, and we're going to follow up here. It says, so Peter was kept in prison, but earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church. And then it says, and when he knocked at the door of the gateway, a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer. Recognizing Peter's voice in her joy, she did not open the gate, but ran in to report that Peter was standing at the gate. They said to her, you're out of your mind. But she kept insisting that it was so. And they kept saying, it's his angel. But Peter continued knocking, and when they opened, they saw him and were amazed. This reminds me so much of you and I. So much we get so much caught up in our routine of how it's supposed to be that we forget that God is answering our prayer and he's knocking at the door and he's waiting for you to open the door. It happens so much. I've seen it in church all my life that, oh, we're praying. Hey, let me set up a scenario. Yeah, Rhoda. Whatever. Rhoda, can you see that we're earnestly praying to God on Peter's behalf? Guys, it's Rhoda being Rhoda again. Calm down, Rhoda. Calm down. We need some more Rhodas in our church. We need some more people that's going to insist that, no, God's answering your prayer. You're being blinded to the fact that he's just saying, you need to open that door because I've got a blessing for you right there if you'll just open the door. You need to quit being blinded to the fact your routine sometimes needs to get out of that whole routine and you start trusting and believing that what God is doing is much greater than even what you can expect and see, that he's answering your prayer right in front of your eyes. Church, this morning, he saved a soul. They're not going to hell anymore. They're going to heaven. He's doing it right before your very eyes. You've just got to open it and receive what God would have for you. And he gets even better. Glory to God. So they said, Rhoda, she insisted. This gets me. I about chuckled when I was reading this week. It's an angel. They said to her, it's just an angel. Dude, if there's an angel at the door, I'm running to see what's at the door. So here's our church praying. It's not, Rhoda, you're too excited. It's just an angel. Well, by golly, I tell you what, I'm running and running where they said the angel. If they said there's an angel down here on Main Street, I'm going to go check it out. So it's kind of like, okay, so what were you guys really praying for? What were you really expecting? I think their expectation was so low that they thought Peter was already, he's dead, gone, son. He's dead. So then their mind said, okay, so are they really thinking the impossible could be done? How is their expectation, okay? Because God's doing some amazing thing. He's already got this worked out. Peter's outside the door just knocking on the gate saying, let me in. And they're over here worried about, oh, we have been praying, Rhoda. Quit being crazy. Okay, so quit praying praises. And I believe what God wants us to do as Christians and as the church, and I recognize and I relate with this because of the struggles and the wrestles that we have. Because when you really pray for someone that has cancer, do you really anticipate that God's going to heal that cancer? Because I'm telling you, glory be to God, he has, and he did this week for someone of our church. He does amazing things, glory be to God. But we've got to quit getting this mentality. But so I think that God is wanting us to increase, the church to increase our expectation. By increasing our expectation, I mean, you need to up your prayer game. We need to up our prayer game. Just as our youth parents have been challenged, I challenge every one of you this morning, buddy, to get you a prayer journal. And you write people's name down. If you're not a part of our prayer list, that email that goes out every week, you need to be a part of that. And you start praying for these individuals. And you start calling onto God on behalf of them, saying, God, please deliver them through their situation and what they're going through. And believe this stuff's going to happen. And I'm telling you, God will do some amazing things. And you'll be able to see it and witness it for yourself instead of standing there and saying, Peter's dead. It just got to be his angel. Well, glory to God. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. And he's a forevermore alive. So God does the impossible. He increases our expectation. Number three here. I love this. God does more than we ask. So he does the impossible, he increases our expectation, and guess what? He does more than we even ask. Have you ever prayed the prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done? You know that prayer, okay? Sometimes I think that we as a church, we don't even recognize what we're saying there when we pray that. Do we really? Because God is doing something great. I don't even think that we anticipate what God is planning out here. The church wasn't anticipating for Peter to ever be saved and delivered from that prison. They weren't anticipating that. They were anticipating death. We'll deal with it. God will give us another plan. But we need to be anticipating God is going to deliver. He's going to take that off of that person and deliver them through their disease. He's going to do these things. In the name of Jesus, he's going to do these things. And that expectation begins to rise. Anticipation begins to rise. God begins to move in a mighty way. And we begin to understand that this thing is far greater than any of us. God's power can do more than what you can even fathom in your mind here today. When you think he's answering these little bitty prayers that you've got, God's doing far greater things in people's lives, and he's doing amazing things in people's lives. He's delivering them from death unto life. He's doing amazing things. And do you understand that there's power in prayer? Have you ever heard this? Have you ever heard anybody quote this? The prayer of a righteous person availeth much. The prayer of a righteous person availeth much. I mean, availeth much. Do you realize that there is power in prayer? There's power in prayer. If you could be a fly on the wall and hear some of the conversations that I've had to sit through and see how God has delivered time and time again, you would become more of this person, this righteous person, and believe more that it avails much that when we pray. You would believe that. If you have witnessed marriages being restored, lives being changed because of drugs and alcohol, and God taking that away from individuals and them being able to come and say, I'm a child of the everlasting King. God has saved me, and I'm on the right path because of what he's done for me. It availeth much. And the thing is about it, church, it just doesn't stop with our prayers today, right now. But God's power and his plan and his will goes on and on. This is the church praying over 2,000 and something years ago. And the same God that delivered Peter is the same God that is delivering and going to deliver you this morning through your life and what you're dealing with. The same God. He keeps moving and moving and moving and moving. And when we finally understand that it is time to open the door, God is already knocking on people's hearts this morning. When it is time to open the door, when we as a church realize God is doing great things and open this floodgate, this door that he's going to send us flood through, when we realize that, look out. Look out. Because God does more than we ask, and I'll prove it to you right here. Acts 12, 20 through 24. So now Herod was angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon, and they came to him with one accord And having persuaded Blastus, the king's chamberlain, they asked for peace because their country depended on the king's country for food. And on the appointed day, Herod put on his royal robes, took his seat upon the throne, and delivered an oration to them. And the people, sounds just like people of the world today. And the people were shouting, "The voice of God and not of man." And it said, and immediately an angel of the Lord struck him down because he did not give God the glory, and he was eaten by worms and breathed his last breath. And glory be to God. Look what happens next. But the word of God increased and multiplied. The word of God increased and multiplied. But if that don't make your expectation go up, I don't know what will. If I don't kindle your fire, I don't know what will. If I don't get you excited, I don't know what will. If I don't want you to make you want to open the door, I don't know what will. Lives are being changed here. So listen, here's what happened. So Herod, he wanted to destroy the church. He wanted to destroy the church, but God had this all planned because guess what? God just didn't deliver Peter. Herod went to a different town, and Herod died. Because he didn't give God the glory. So God not only took care of Peter, he was taking care of the church here, because here was somebody persecuting the church. He was taking care of the church right here. And he said, no, move on out. Boom, this guy's dead. And it said that the church increased and multiplied. The persecutor goes down, the church rises. I've seen it time and time again. It's happening in our very eyes in our world today. I believe with my whole heart that this sleeping giant has been asleep for way too long, and I believe that the moving of the Spirit of God is going across our country in a way that I've not seen it in my lifetime, and I believe with my whole heart that God is wanting to do the same right here in our very church. You're sitting back and you're thinking, we need a revival. We need a revival. We're in the middle of a revival, people. But God's saving souls week in and week out. We're witnessing people go in the water. Every week we're witnessing people that have changed, their life has been changed forevermore because of what Jesus done for them. We're getting a witness to that. If you're looking for a revival, you're standing on that other side of the door and you're just listening to the knock and you're not opening it. In the middle of a revival, we're right in the middle of it. So here's what a lot of you hear. Let me give you a visual. I always like visuals. Watch. Here's how easy it is.
Hello?
Hey, Peter! That's how easy it is. He's knocking at the door. I had no idea that was going to happen. Third time's a charm, though. Peter is at the... My anticipation was low. But glory be to God, my expectations are high now because Peter was at the door. Church, it's time to wake up. It's time to wake up and quit sitting down. God is knocking at the door. Somebody needs to be saved, and it's you this morning if you'll listen to him. Church, quit shutting your eyes. We've had some people do. We're just not. He's saving people. They're being baptized. We're getting ready to go through one of the greatest seasons of our life as the history of the Church of Living Water, and you're going to miss it because you're like, Rhoda's crazy. Call me crazy all you want. Guess what? He is at the door waiting for you to open the door. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Woo! Man, he's at the door. If we'll just open it. So what we've got to do is, I know he's dealing with somebody this morning, whether you're facing a struggle in your life that you say, I need salvation. I'll meet you here at the altar. I'll pray with you that God will save you, because the best door I ever opened was that first time that I heard it. Boom, boom, boom on my heart. God was beating on my heart. And he said, you need to receive me. I have a great gift for you if you'll just come and receive me. He's doing the same thing for some individuals this morning. If you'll just receive it and open the door. And church, don't just be church, but be God-fearing, anticipating, expecting people that believe God's plan is far greater than any prayer that we can put together this morning, that he's going to do things beyond the walls of this church and move out across our community and our state and impact the world by us sending people over to witness the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's knocking at your door, church, and you need to open the door. So this morning, it's time for you to answer the call. Open the door. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for the opportunity, for the book of Acts, Lord, for the church showing us that, Lord, how important it is to pray. But God, you showing us how human we really are, that our expectations and anticipation is so low at times, that you'll even deliver and deliver the church. And you said you increase it and you'll multiply it, and you will do the same thing for us today if we truly just open the door and answer the call and be charged and excited about what you're doing in our lives. God, if there's someone here this morning that's heard this knocking for the first time and needs to receive salvation, I pray that they would come down to the altar of prayer, Lord, that we could pray with them, that they would receive this wonderful gift of salvation that you would have for them, Lord, that they can be a part of this great movement that you're doing here in this community and a part of this church, Lord, that they could go spread the gospel with their family and friends. I pray, God, that you would just deal with us, help us to respond, and help us to realize how urgent this is today. Because I've got a child that's lost. Everybody here's got an individual that they can think of right now that they know needs salvation. That's why it's so important that we listen and open the door. In Jesus' name, amen.